This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Pray and Prosper by Ernest Holmes. There is a law of mind that responds to your faith. You need have no anxious thought concerning the operation of this law, for it will always respond. And this is why Jesus said that it is done unto you as you believe. If you would pray and prosper, you must believe that the Spirit is both willing and able to make the gift of life. But since the Spirit can only give you what you take, and since this taking is a mental act, you must train your mind to believe and to accept. This is the secret of the power of prayer. Jesus likened the divine Spirit to a heavenly Father, and he placed the kingdom of this Spirit right here on earth, at the center of man's being. Give us this day our daily bread. This is meant to include everything we shall ever need, whether it be a house to live in, a suit of clothes to wear, or bread to eat and butter to put on the bread. It includes, according to the words of Jesus, what things soever ye desire. You must, however, be certain that your desire harms no one. Prayer ties you to a power that is able, ready, and willing to fulfill every legitimate desire, to bring every good thing to you, to do for you even more abundantly than you have asked. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This shifting of the burden is important, for when one feels isolated, alone, and struggling against odds, he is not equal to the task before him. His life becomes a drudgery. But if one knows the burden is lifted and sat on the shoulders of the law of good, then power and speed come to hands and feet, while joy floods the imagination with anticipation. It is written that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow is used because it suggests a protection, the refreshing coolness of the shadow of a rock in a desert spot. The shadow of the Almighty is a place of peace, and since Spirit is present everywhere, it must be right where you are. The reflection of an image in a mirror is an exact likeness of the image which is held before the mirror. And so it is that the law of good reflects back to you a likeness of the images of your own thought. Thus we are told that we reflect the glory of God. But too often we reflect the fear and limitation of man rather than the glory of God. Jesus told us to judge not according to appearances, but to judge righteously. If we do judge only according to what is now transpiring, we shall perpetuate the old limitations. But if we judge righteously, that is, if we look to the power of good, we shall create new images of thought that will reflect greater abundance. Prayer, then, is a mirror reflecting the images of your thought through the law of good into your outward experiences. And what are we reflecting now? The glory of God or the confusion of man? Prayer does not concentrate or create a spiritual power. It is attention and not concentration. It is willingness and not will. The Spirit never exerts effort. You will remember that Emerson said, "The finite alone has wrought and suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose." And so Jesus tells us to take no anxious thoughts for the morrow. All of our tomorrows are still unborn. Every day should be a new creation, a world more blessed than yesterday. You are to take no anxious thought for the morrow. This does not mean, however, that you are to act in an irresponsible or a chaotic manner. It does mean that you are to live this day in calm confidence in the future. And all your memories of the past will be healed. And all the pent-up energies of unexpressed desire will flow out of you in joyful expression if your communion with nature and with the spirit is complete. This is why quiet and secluded spots tend to rest us. But the only quiet and secluded spot in all the universe is at the center of your own being, where pure spirit reigns supreme. Our lives should swing between prayer, meditation, and action. We used to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And someone has suggested that we add to this beautiful evening prayer one for the new day. "Now I get me up to work. I pray the Lord I shall not shirk. If I should die before the night, I pray the Lord my work's done right." If God is in all events, then we should go forth gladly to meet them, not only in the stillness of the evening or the quiet of the midnight, but also in the rising tide of human endeavor. Wherever people meet together for prayer and spiritual communion, a field of faith is created, which reacts upon everyone who enters it. It is easy to break one twig, but if we bind many twigs together, they become unbreakable. In group consciousness, the individual faith of each member is strengthened through union with all the others. In union, there is strength. This is just as true in our mental life as it is in the body of our affairs. Always you should seek the companionship of those whose faith may be added to yours. Thought atmospheres are very real. You sense them in the choir of a cathedral or at the shrines where countless thousands have gathered with uplifted thoughts. Thus the power of one is multiplied through combining it with the power of others. This is not because the spirit listens to many more than to just one, but because many often create a larger hope and a greater expectancy. They develop a real dynamic field of faith. The act of prayer arrives at a point of certainty when it recognizes the gift even before the gift is made. Your request is made as to a friend who you know is both able and willing to respond. Therefore, the petition becomes a joyous recognition of the fact that before they call, I will answer. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. These words of Jesus give us an example of prayer and acceptance. It is the recognition of the Spirit as a friend, and the acceptance that this friend acts in our behalf immediately and with power that brings the answer. Do we pray for a harvest when we plant the seed? Of course we do. Are not seed time and harvest two ends of one law? Prayer and acceptance are two ends of recognizing the divine giving, which says, "Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine." Jesus plainly taught his followers that prayers would be answered when the one praying accepted the answer. The law of good operates on your belief at the level of your faith according to your recognition. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. This is the magic key to the storehouse of abundance. Your acceptance must be spontaneous as well as conscious. That is, the whole mind must accept, the whole being must respond. You must accept inwardly, outwardly, and completely. But it is not because of much speaking that you are heard, but rather because of deep, earnest, and prayerful acceptance. In this divine communion, You should not try to think out beforehand what words you are going to use. Your words should be the outcome of a deep inner conviction which goes beyond words, but which at the same time gives birth to them. Prayer is more than a thing of the intellect. It is a thing of the feeling and of the heart. And just as an artist feels beauty rather than sees it, so we feel the divine presence's warmth and color and life. Prayer is, in fact, both an art and a science. Scientifically, it has form. Artistically, it has color, feeling, conviction. This feeling rises out of an inner awareness. There is something within you which knew reality long before your conscious intelligence was born. You can feel your way back to this original genius of the universe, this infinite artist whose creations are spread throughout all time and space. Spiritual communion enters into the joy of recognition, of acceptance, and anticipates that the divine abundance will provide a more lavish supply than you have ever conceived or dreamed of. Spiritual communion places a bowl of acceptance under the ever outpouring horn of plenty, and it places its bowl right side up rather than upside down. The Spirit can only give you what you take, and since this taking is an act of consciousness, you must be actively aware of the presence of your desire. You must know that the gift is made even before you see it. You must receive the gift before you see it also. Therefore, say to yourself, believing that God is the invisible partner in my life, I now affirm that divine love goes before me and prepares the way. There is something deep within me that knows exactly what I ought to do and how I ought to do it. I am listening to this divine presence. I am permitting it to direct me. I not only believe that it can, I know that it will. Thoughts and ideas will come to me, and I shall be led to following them out in everyday life. I shall be impelled into right action. I know how to meet every situation in a calm trust and with a complete conviction that divine intelligence is guiding me. I wish to do only what is constructive. Therefore, I know that everything I do shall be prospered. Everything I touch shall be quickened into a newness of life. Every constructive purpose in my life will be fulfilled. I have a deep sense of an inner assurance that all is well. The same intelligence that governs the planets in their course is now acting as a law of good in my personal experience and in the experience of everyone around me. I do thank God for this increase that is mine. I do accept divine guidance. I place my life entirely under the protection and guidance of this one power, and I rest in complete faith that everything I do is prospered.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.